How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
On this episode of Wobble, we are joined by broadcaster, author, body positive champion, and for me, an idol, Bryony Gordon. Bryony is, in this conversation, incredibly open and honest and really shows us how to deal with those negative feelings and emotions that we come up against in day-to-day life, because Bryony has been to a low.
Yes.
And Bryony is on the way back up out of a low, and how she describes this process and describes these emotions and teaches a lot of lessons within this podcast,
yeah,
I think is profound.
Absolutely. She was kind of the ultimate wobble guest for us.
We were both just sat there in awe, weren't we?
I mean, I could have kept her there all afternoon, as you'll hear. Here's Bryony on Wobble. We are absolutely thrilled. Bryony Gordon, hi.
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 Welcome to Wobble.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me on the Wobble. I'm very wobbly.
In a wonderful way, though.
I'm like physically and mentally wobbly.
Which is why you are the ultimate wobble guest for us.
I'm like a weeble. I'm a weebles. Sort of just like life. I just feel like I'm going like that. That's my spirit animal, a weeble.
Because they just don't fall down. They don't stay
yeah,
down,
but they
do
always
they?
Wobble. But I
yes.
think that's life, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
you, do you know what I mean? We're always going to wobble, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's completely
and
fine.
I think my big problem in life, previously, I mean, one of many, but the big, like, the thing that I was, I thought, oh, I'm not supposed to be wobbly. Like, I must stop this feeling
yes.
of wobbliness immediately, because I should be having the perfect life. And it was when I sort of sat down and went, just let it embrace the wobble, that I'm like, hey, everything's all right.
I mean, that
are we done
in
now?
Itself, yeah, we're done. It was great to have you on there.
But what's really lovely, because obviously your podcast, Mad World, and what I love in the intro for that is that you say feeling weird is totally normal.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, that's the way the conversation seems to have changed
yeah.
in a really big way in the last few years. But what I also love, and we've totally stolen this from your podcast, is I really want to ask you how you are, because I love that you start your podcast with that. Like, how are you really?
Really?
How are you right now?
Okay. So, if I'm honest, I've been having a really big wobble, like a kind of like on the Richter scale, like a 9.
Wow.
So I've just coming out of quite a hard, like a difficult. So I gave up alcohol like 13 months ago, and I kind of thought, because I was aware that it was, well, because I was using it addictively and to kind of cover up stuff. And you get through that kind of initial stage of like getting over the addiction or the kind of, you know, just getting sober. And then what happened was in the summer, I found myself like, I was suddenly confronted with all this shit. So can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
All this shit that I'd been sort of trying to drink to cover up. And it was like, hey, it was like someone had pulled the rug out underneath me. And I was like, oh, look at all these stains. I was like, please put the rug back, put the rug back. But it was back. It was serving a purpose. So I had a bit of a like, I had a real, yeah, the summer was awful.
Well, I remember when I was with you over summer and it was a hot day.
Yeah.
And you were very open to me and you said, this is a really hard day for me because the sun's out. You were just about to run the marathon and you said, all I want to do is just have a glass of wine to calm my nerves, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I was really in awe of your honesty about the situation that you were in because not many people are that honest about a situation like that.
Well, I feel like being honest is like talking about stuff just is always my way of, like, my daughter this morning was throwing a tantrum and she didn't want to go to school. And I was like, we can talk about this and it will feel better. And I don't, you know, so yeah, I am honest because if I'm not honest, then I feel like I'm ignoring the problem. Do you know what I mean? So I'm sort of, I feel like I'm coming out of 3 really like quite awful months. And I also realized that I had to have them. And that the reason, you know, it's like you have to sit with the feelings. I was like, when I get to the end of this, the Marvel are going to invite me to be one of the Avengers. And my husband was like, what will your superpower be? I'm like, sitting with my feelings.
Yes.
Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Iron Man. I'm aware that I've had to kind of go through it because I really haven't. I've just been drinking on it for like 20 years or whatever. So, you know, it's that thing of like, oh, I can live. I can feel these horrible things and these feelings are not going to kill me.
And how have you been coping with feeling those feelings? Because in the time that you would have a drink or some people would have a cigarette or some people...
Oh, yeah,
I still
have a cigarette.
Oh, thank God.
But when that time that you would reach for the vice...
Yeah.
And now...
And how do you not do it? How do you not reach for it?
Well, I kind of go to 12-step meetings. That's really helpful. I have... And, you know, through that, I've met lots of kind of other people in my situation. So you have a sort of fellowship, which is great. And I just, yeah, I talk about it. But also I try and do, you know, this is going to sound really, I hate that my answer to this question of how to deal with life is going to be what it is. Because I spent my whole life trying to kind of find the correct amount of alcohol and drugs to consume to make your mental health better. You know, I was like, I don't want the answer to be that I've got to eat 3 meals a day and get some good sleep and look after myself. I was like, no, I'm on a one-woman mission to find out the, you know, the kind of the perfect combination to get like out of it without fucking yourself up. But actually what happened was, funnily enough, it makes your mental health worse. So eventually I've had to concede that the way that I have to deal with stuff is to kind of sit with it, feed myself 3 times a day, like literally treat myself like a newborn baby, feed myself 3 times a day, try and eat reasonably well, but don't beat myself up if I do go like full head first into a pint of Ben and Jerry's, which I do most nights.
Oh, yes.
Get out the fucking house. Like, I just need to get out the house. But it's hard to do that because sometimes you just don't want to. Try and do a bit of exercise. And just hold on, hold on. That's like my advice to people because these things do pass, you know. And I remind myself that even if it's really horrible and no one wants to feel like shit. Do you know what I mean? Who wants to feel like shit? Nobody, but we all do from time to time. So I just sort of hold on tight. And I was gonna say, and try to enjoy the ride, but you don't. And that's okay, you don't have to enjoy everything.
Yeah.
It's not my God-given right to always be happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, I always think we spend a lot of time teaching children how to be happy, but I think we also need to teach them how to be unhappy. Because, like, you know, it's gonna happen. And if you don't, if you have no frame of reference for sadness or anger or any of those things, you don't know how to deal with them, you know?
And they become bad, and then it's black and white, isn't it? Bad feelings, good feelings.
Yeah, well, it's a bit like the Marvel Universe. Yeah. There's good and there's bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, it's all a little, we're all a bit of a muddle of everything, really.
I think there's something really nice that you have said where taking it back to basics, because in times of being fronted by about the wobble. I know from my experience, and I know from your experience, so from us being friends, that we have our vices that we reach to. So it could be in the past I would have self-harmed, or I would have eaten, and I still would do this, I would eat my feelings. But I like the fact that you've said, accept that this is a situation, and instead of reaching for your vice, treat yourself like a newborn baby. I love this advice of just go to basics and have three meals, and if you've done that, and do a bit of exercise, and if you don't do it, that's okay. But that's like, that seems to be your model to then build.
It's quite simple, and try to go to bed early, you know, try to get a good night's sleep. Like, all of this stuff, we get quite kind of lost in the, you know, I think we try to complicate things, do you know what I mean? Like, I know that I'm wearing a Fitbit, do you know what I mean? And this will tell me what my resting heart rate is, and what level, and how, you know, how I slept last night in terms of like the sleep cycles. Did I, how much deep sleep did I have? How much REM sleep did I have? You know, so on and so forth. And we get obsessed about food and macros, and, you know, and the type of food that we should be eating, and what's going to keep us alive, and da da da, and what kind of exercise should I be doing? Should I be doing reformed Pilates? Should I be doing this type of yoga? Should I be doing? And sometimes, you know, I think we're losing that kind of central kind of gut instinct, you know, of like trying to remember that when there's a storm sort of raging around you, you sort of retreat a bit, you know, and surround yourself with protective stuff and the stuff that is going to protect me. Like, instinctively, I know, like, I have only, and I'm 38 now, and it's taken me this long to work out that my brain is just wired wrong. Like, you know, like the green and the red wires, like they've been put in.
I'm missing wires.
Yeah, well, there's that as well. But like, if I, you know, I'm trying to, like, learning that if I want to do something, I probably shouldn't do it.
Wow.
And if I don't want to do something, I should probably do it. And there's, but there's loads of, do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, but also knowing, I think another really powerful thing, as well as it taking it back to basics, is acknowledging that sometimes our brains don't always want the best for us. Like, sometimes thoughts and feelings aren't necessarily true. Do you know what I mean? You know, my instinct in a situation is to go to where, what I've done wrong, to think about how I've made this bad, the situation bad, to think about why I'm worthless and why I'm a piece of shit. That's where my brain goes, like, instinctively, do you know what I mean? And actually kind of go, whoa, let's stop here for a second. Do you know what I mean? Am I really the worst person in the world? I was talking to a friend the other day who's going through a breakup, and she's like, all contact has been cut. And she's like, I've done this, I've done that. Da, 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 da. What if he's off to with this person and that person? And I'm like, well, stop. And I know, I used to do this all the time in my 20s, do you know what I mean? And my early 30s. We don't know if he's off with someone else. You don't know if he's sobbing in his bed, you know, we don't have no idea, do you know what I mean? But stop, because it's the real, you know, we have a tendency to go not just into like positive fantasy of daydreaming, but also negative fantasy in our heads. Do you know, am I making any sense?
Yeah, no.
I wonder if it's a control thing, that we want to be in control.
We want to know the reason for everything,
yeah,
and why something's happened, and you know, you can't. Can't always know, and that's a.
But it's almost a relief in a way, I think,
to
go,
that.
Oh, I'm never going to know that, so
let's just let it go.
Yeah.
Like, my mum used to always say to me when I was a kid, just let it go. And I was like, what the fuck? No, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to, you know, stuff it in a backpack, you know, lock it to my back, walk around with it for the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah.
Things that I'm learning at the moment is I assume things. And that's something that I'm like massively learning in personal relationships, is that I assume a situation based on my past, like, I think, facts of life. And assumptions are never, they're not normally right. And there's always the truth in there. And I think it's like we say, acceptance with your body, but also acceptance with a situation of going, actually, this is a situation and I might never know that. And I need to learn to accept that.
But also, I think we're all, I did this event at the weekend about body positivity and body image. And I think there's also that kind of mental image we all have. It's not just about how we look, but like we look in the mirror and we don't see what everyone else sees. Do you know what I mean? Like, last week I did this like suicide prevention campaign, and all I could think about was the fact that I'd mispronounced a word on the Today program and how stupid I was, and oh god, I should have next time do it better. And then this girl sits down and she was like, oh my god, I was talking to this mental health charity chief, and they were saying how amazing that was and how well you've done, and you know, you're this unstoppable force. And I was like, I've just spent 3 months like sobbing on my bed, basically. And but then this same girl started talking about how she worked with people and they were all like perfect and they all kind of put themselves, they always dressed so well and they always looked so elegant. And I was like, that's what I think of you, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So like, it's really fun, you know, we all, like I got an email once from someone I went to primary school with and they were like, oh, I always thought you were so cool. And I was like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like,
but I think you're really cool.
Well, I think you're really cool, but I don't think I am cool. And so, but it's that thing of like, we're always looking for sort of outside approval, aren't we?
That's something that's haunted me my whole life, actually. I've always outsourced, if you like, because yeah. I want somebody to go, you're doing really well, yeah. or yes, that was a good decision. And it's only this year, really, that I have started to take a bit of it back and sort of almost take it more in-house.
Yeah, like
it's so hard.
You hear people saying, like, the thing that you're looking for is probably, you're only going to be, like, sounds so cheesy.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
You know, look back inside yourself for it. Because really, you know, like, but I think so many of us were brought up with, we were sold this notion that, like, once you get the man, the woman, the house, the job, do you know what I mean? You're going to be happy. And then it's like, oh, God, but lots of people aren't. And then they say, well, why aren't I happy? And it's because actually none of that means, I mean, it's all nice, but really, no, you're not going to be happy until you have that sort of central contentment. Yeah.
And also, there's a waiting room. I talk about this a lot. The sort of waiting room of, well, when I have that, then I can be happy. Yeah. Until then, I'll just sit here in my misery. But when I get that job, when I get that money, then I'll be...
Without kind of taking stock of what we have right now.
Yeah.
I had this moment the other weekend where I was like... Just in a bad mood, and I was like, why isn't my life exciting? And I was sitting there watching like Home Alone with my daughter. My husband was making a shepherd's pie, and I was like, ooh, so boring, that's so boring, right? And then I had to kind of do a double take where, like, literally 10 years ago, if you had told me that I would be sitting watching a movie with my 5-year-old daughter while my husband made a shepherd's pie, I would have died of happiness. I would be like, oh my God, that's all I want in life. That's all I want. I want a man to make me shepherd's pie and have a baby. You know, and like, and then there's me sitting there, like, oh, shepherd's pie, like thinking, oh God, I wish it was exciting, but like, no, it was awful. When I was 28, life was fucking awful. Do you know what I mean? So you have to kind of keep reminding yourself. I think it's really easy. I think as people, we kind of forget, you know, yeah, what we have and what we've achieved and how far we've come. Do you know what I mean? And you know, I think also we're all brought up to kind of think that self-love is a bad thing. You know, I always remember if someone loved themselves when I was a teenager, it was not a good thing. They were like full of themselves.
Yeah.
But I really think, you know, I mean, I do sound like some sort of meditation app now, but like, you know, you practice kindness to yourself. It's like, it just makes you a nicer person. Yeah.
And for you, practicing kindness for yourself, does it look like those 3 meals a day and that going to bed early? How does it kind
of... And, you know, yeah, that's what it looks like. Reaching out, chatting to people.
Yeah.
Not doing things like, I heard someone say this thing yesterday, which was so profound, it stopped me in my tracks. And they were talking about how they always seem to do the wrong thing for themselves, right? And they were like, it's like I'm thirsty and I keep going to drink salt water. And it just makes me, actually, it's making me ill. It's dehydrated. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what that's my kind of like default position.
I think a lot of us would be able to identify with that turn of phrase. Even when you said that to me, I was like, oh yeah, duh.
Yeah, so like you're reaching, you know, and like I have a friend who always says, you know, we have a tendency to kind of look for happiness in the wrong places, you know, and this is all, I mean, look, you can spend a lot of time analysing yourself and, you know, and sometimes you just got to live a little, but yeah, I think for me, it's like doing things, my default position is to do things that hurt me.
Yeah.
Be it getting drunk, taking drugs, going for the wrong mat, you know, going for someone that's, you know, it's doing the things I'm not really supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to that.
And were you always like that?
I don't know. I was quite, well, no, when I was at school, I was quite, I was very well, you know, I did really well. I studied hard. I was probably only when I left, like in my 20s, that I really, but I think that's, I just wanted to like shut up the voice. Like I had mental illness. I had obsessive compulsive disorder and depression and all of that. So I guess if you feel
I just feel so cheesy when I say all these things. But I guess if you feel pain, you kind of try and change it, and then you're... My coping mechanisms weren't very good.
Yeah.
You know, they were like drinking salt water when you're thirsty. Mm-hmm. You know, my coping mechanisms were to drink too much, take shitloads of cocaine, and then try and be fixed by a man who really frankly needed fixing himself. Do you know what I mean? There's about 6 or 7 of those men in my life. I can't, you know, pinpoint. I just wasn't, it didn't work, you know. But it's fine. It's, you know, I am where I am. And I've taken that negative and turned it into a positive by talking about it. You know, I think it's just really normal. It's really normal.
It's so normal, especially for some reason in your 20s. I feel like in your 20s, things start to catch up with you. I had a gorgeous childhood. I had a lovely time, lovely family, lovely home and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose then when things start to catch up with you in your 20s, you almost think, oh, I'm not really allowed because I've had a lovely life. You know, there's almost that, so there's breaking through that barrier. And then, like, I mean, I was the same as you. I sort of self-medicated with drink and boys a lot. I was very, very easily flattered, very easily. Oh, it just compounds the problem. It just makes the problem, because not only are you dealing with whatever you're dealing with, you're then dealing with the way that the bad methods of
in a way, it's a way to ignore the problem.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why we do it, I suppose.
But also, I think it's, you do it because you think it's going to make you feel better. And of course it does in the short term, but then in the long term it harms you. You know, for me, thinking long term is probably like one of the tenets of like the 12 steps program is just for today, like just one day at a time. And I totally get that. But also for me, it is also remembering that the long term solution is probably better than the short term one. So, like, having patience. I've never had any patience. I couldn't wait for a fucking bus without this. You know what I mean? I'm like, I want this thing right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, a man, I want this man. I'm going to make him mine now. Because, like, you don't look cool. You just look, I don't know. You know, like, so I was never, I was just like, I want this. I want to see you. I want to devour you now. Do you know what I mean? And that's always been my way. Now. And I'm having to go, actually, delayed gratification is often much better.
It's interesting what you said about feeling bored earlier, because I was very similar. I thought being patient is boring. Mm. It's, you know, you think of school and you think of discipline and all those. That's how I always thought of patience. Like, I don't want to. I want it now. It's the idea of boring versus fun. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And, and that's something that I've battled with. It's like, oh, this is good for me, but it's boring, which means that I'm boring.
But also, like, I think
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Confuse fun with happiness.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the same thing at all. You know, things are better. I think things are better if you work for them. But like, then again, sometimes they're not. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you've got to work really hard at like a bloke, or you know, because they're difficult, then no, it's not. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's each to their own. But I do think that, you know, that I have to make myself. I would literally kind of like, I wouldn't let anything get in my way. You know, if I wanted something now, I would be like, right, you know, drugs, booze, we're going now. And that has its downsides, but it does also have its upsides. Like, I'm quite tenacious. Like, if I decide I'm going to do something in my career, I bloody well do it. Do you know what I mean? But I've had to become a bit less. But the downsides of that was always that, like, I still want to do things, but if they don't happen immediately, I'm not going to like sink into a deep depression. Like, there's a reason they haven't happened immediately. I'm a bit more sort of content and at peace with the fact that things don't always happen. You know, you've got to sort of.
And you're learning patience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to touch on body confidence because you mentioned it before. How has your relationship with your body been through those times of drinking, taking drugs and not having patience to where you are now? Because I look at you as such a beacon of the flag flyer of body confidence, which is something that I'm so passionate about. And I'm inspired by how you champion it. But how did you get to where you got to with this body confidence journey?
You've seen me naked.
I've seen a lot of people in London naked.
Yeah.
And the world.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, it's just nipples.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think also I just got tired of feeling like when I feel low, the first place my brain goes to attack is the way I look. Do you know what I mean? Because it's quite.
Well, it's the literal thing that you see.
Yeah, but also, I think that. For me, it was like I got to a point in my 30s where I was like, I'm so tired of always thinking about what I couldn't do with my body and the way I didn't look, you know, and what I wasn't. I was so tired of thinking about what I wasn't. And I was like, can I just focus on what I am? Like, because it's exhausting and it's a waste of time. Like, I am not going to be on my deathbed thinking, God, I really wish I'd been a size 8 or, you know, like, it's just not.
I'm really glad I worried about
about the fact that I was, you know, I could lose 3 pounds or whatever. And it's just tiring and it's a waste of energy and there's so much more that we could be doing. And so I, you know, it's all been quite accidental for me. And, you know, and I still struggle. Like, and I think people think I'm incredibly confident and I'm not. I have those same body image issues that everyone does. But I suppose my way of kind of telling them to fuck off is by taking my clothes off and posting a picture on the internet or running the marathon in my underwear. And, you know, it's a kind of showing this is the reality of who we are. And I don't want to be ashamed of myself anymore. I'm sick of feeling ashamed of myself. Like, I don't want to live life like that. I want to feel happy and joyous and free. And you know, shame just keeps us all. You know, like if I'm feeling ashamed of myself, I don't want to go out and run. I don't want to go and do a fun class or, you know, I don't want to go and be active or with my friends. You know, it doesn't help anyone. It's not a helpful feeling. So, but also, you know, when I did the marathon with my friend Jada, who's a plus size model, you know, that term plus size irritates me. What really, you know, it was incredible. Like there were women running up to us going, oh, I could never do that. I'm so ashamed of my body. And we're like, your body that you're running a marathon with.
Yes.
You know, it's like, and even, you know, you do a marathon and you're like, I didn't do it in a quick enough time or, you know, like we all just, our default position is to just kind of criticize ourselves. And it's, you know, I think I've learned that the biggest barrier to achieving things is not other people, it's my own, it's the gremlins in my head, you know, like, why can't I do a marathon? Why can't I, you know, why can't I go and do a bar class I did yesterday? You know, yeah, I probably looked like I had all the grace of an elephant, do you know what I mean? But I did it, and I don't really, and everyone's there doing it for their own reasons, you know, and I think that, yeah, I think there's too much shame involved in living, and I think, and that's a shame. It's for me, it's like, it's almost an issue of productivity. It's like if I spend 2 hours of every day thinking I don't look right or this way or that way, like I could be doing something else with that time, you know?
That's a big moment, isn't it? To identify your inner critic and to realise that it's happening even, that those voices are there. Because people go through their whole lives never having that moment, just thinking that's who I am and that's how I exist. artist. How do you tackle it, I suppose, that inner critic? When you first started hearing it, how did you change the conversation with it, do you think?
Well, I still have it.
I think we all are always going to have it.
Yeah, I recognise that I have it. Mm. You know, that it isn't necessarily me, that it isn't necessarily helpful. You know, whereas before, my inner critic was every single part of me, do you know what I mean? It was everywhere. It echoed throughout my body. And now I have there's probably, you know, an inner, whatever the opposite of a critic is, an inner...
champion.
Inner champion sort of going, is that necessarily true? Do you know what I mean? And just being aware that it's there, it isn't everything. Do you know what I mean? It's part of the narrative, but it isn't the entire narrative. You know, it's part of the conversation, but it isn't the conversation.
Yeah. And it's so rare that it tells the truth. I find that quite a helpful tool sometimes. If my inner critic's kind of on a rampage, sometimes you can think, oh, wait, this doesn't sound true. You know, like, I'm crap or I can't do this.
Or everyone thinks I look like crap in this or they're thinking this. No, the truth is no one's thinking about you.
No.
They're all too busy thinking about their own inner critic.
Yeah.
You know, that as well, I think, has been the really empowering thing, is going, oh, you know, like, no, it's not. You know, for everyone else, it's not about me. It's about them. So, like, when I used to get nervous about going to a class, because I was like, everyone's going to laugh at me. No, everyone's doing their own thing. Do you know what I mean? They've got their own shit. I was talking to a friend this morning. He was like, I'm sure the mums at the school gate are like, she hasn't got a job. She's useless. And then she was like, I had to stop myself and go, no, they're all just trying to get their kids to stop having tantrums and get into school, do their homework, you know, like, get to their own. You know, no one cares.
I wonder where that comes from, that we all just assume people...
Because we're all in our own heads the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, so because we can't crawl into other people's heads, you know. So it's very normal, as again, yeah, that word normal. What is normal?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. It's comparison.
Yeah.
It's comparison.
Yeah.
Is the thief of joy.
Yes. So when you, because obviously you mentioned at the start, you've had a really bad 3 months.
Yeah.
What's changed, do you think? Is it just that it will pass, or was it something?
Yeah. I've just stuck with it.
Yeah.
In a way, I haven't tried to change it. I think that's what's changed.
Yeah.
I've accepted that that's it. You know, that's how it feels right now, and that's okay. And I haven't tried to change it.
Yeah. It's really hard, isn't it, when your instinct is muddled. Mm. So when your instinct is like, have a glass of wine, that'll make you feel better, that's the right thing to do. And then you do it and you're like, oh no, this wasn't the right thing to do. I had it last night. I went to there was a party last night, I'm not very well. I was like, I'm not gonna go. I went. Mm. And then I got there and I was like, this was the right thing to do. Like, this is really great. I've seen some really lovely people. And I stayed for an hour and then I left and everybody was lovely. Nobody went, going home, are you? You know what I mean? How do we navigate that? How do we navigate when your instinct's off and yet you know what the right thing to do is, but you can't find it? It's so hard.
But I always think, do the thing that you think you can't, because it make you feel really good. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't think that you can get out of bed, get out of bed. If you don't think that you can run a marathon, try and, you know, like, I always think, as I said earlier, my instinct is usually off. You know, it's wrong. But if you really tune in, if you really like dig deep, you probably knew that the right thing to do was to go for an hour and that it wasn't going to be, do you know what I mean? Like, but also don't beat yourself up about it if you don't go. Sometimes I know I should go to things and I don't, because I'm not right. I don't want to be around people who are drinking alcohol, do you know what I mean? And that, it'll come, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, be kind to yourself again, you know? But it's knowing the difference between... I suppose it's listening to your inner champion more than your inner critic, you know, and going, does your inner champion want you to go to this? Because it might be good for your career, it might be, do you know what I mean? Or you might see some people, it might be fun. You know, I go to things sometimes that I don't want to go to and I end up having a really nice time. Like last week, I had to go to this dinner. I was like, I really don't want to go. I just want to sit on the sofa and watch Bodyguard and eat ice cream. And I made myself go because I had to. I had no choice. And I had such a fun time, you know?
Oh, it's hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
And then, like you said, it's so hard to not beat yourself up afterwards and go, you made the wrong call there. You got that wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's chalked up on some board of good and bad decisions that I made in my life.
I never believe in a wrong decision. I don't believe that there is a wrong decision. I think if you make a decision that maybe didn't suit the situation, then it was a learning curve.
The universe. Do you know what they say? They say, I hear a lot, is that you're where you need to be. And then you go, well, how do you know I'm where I need to be? They're like, because you are where you are. Oh, okay.
Circular saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'll put that on a t-shirt.
Quite helpful, like when I'm in a bad thing and I'm like, I don't want anything. And then you're like, but you don't know what's going to come out of that, you know.
No.
You don't know, like, the universe has a plan for us all. You've just got to go with it.
Yeah.
Go with it. Hand it over.
That's it. And also, I heard something the other day that I really liked that was the past and the future just don't exist. They just don't exist. The past doesn't exist because it's what you remember of it, and it's kind of what you make sense of it now. The future certainly doesn't exist right now. Literally, you are in this moment.
I find a really good thing to do, a really good way to live your life, is to just always do the next right thing. Then it doesn't really go wrong.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
See, that makes me panic because I go, but what is the right thing? What is it? Where
but then
is
you
it?
Have to realise that there is no wrong. So you just have to constantly keep making like little decisions. That's all that it is.
God, I'd love to be there.
Yeah, just little decisions. So like, just go, okay, is the next right thing to... I'm trying to think.
Like have a glass of water or go and have a sit down.
But you make right decisions all the time. You made the right decision to leave the house on time today. You got dressed. You've got a coat on that's going to rain. I don't have that. But like, you've made lots of little tiny decisions that are the right decisions.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening each day.
Oh, yeah. Done all right, actually.
Look at it that way. You've won.
Yeah.
So, Bryony, we do always ask everybody who comes on Wobble, what makes you wobble?
Not looking after myself. Not doing the next right thing. Not feeding myself three times a day and getting enough sleep. And you know that thing of where people say you've got to live life to the full? Living life to the full really makes me wobble. I'm like, it's just too much to do.
Yeah.
It's too Pepsi Max.
I'm like, no, yeah. I'm wobbling. I've taken too much on. That makes me wobble. I'm like, just sometimes you just got to do nothing. There's power in doing nothing, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So important.
Wobbling, doing too much makes me wobble. And like, people are like, Bryony, are you taking too much on? I'm like, shut up, I've got to live life to the full. They're like, do you really have to write a book while you're in rehab and training for a marathon that you're going to run in your underwear, darling? I've got to carry on doing things. And then I have a wobble and collapse and have 3 months of misery. So that's what makes me wobble, doing too much.
Yeah.
I've got to be really boundary. Like a newborn baby, I'm like, okay, oh, I've done too much today. I've got to go home. I'm like, this morning I was like, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run to an AA meeting and then I'll do this podcast and then I've got therapy and then I've got to do school pickup. I'm like, no, too much. And then I've got to ring the bank and I've got to set up a thing for this foundation I run. And I'm like, no. What you're going to do is you're going to go to work, do an hour of work at your desk, do the podcast, go to therapy, pick your kid up. That's enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I've literally just been given a life moment.
Yeah. It is, and it's a life's work to get there because everything is so case by case, day by day. What is the right, like you said, what is the next right thing?
Yeah, but like last week, I was like, oh, I didn't really do anything last week. My friend was like, Bryony, like, just shut the fuck up. Like, oh, I haven't done it. I literally sat there still. I was like, I've not really done anything this year because I was like, and they were like, well, you ran a marathon, you had a book come out, do you know what I mean? You've done this suicide prevention campaign. I'm like, okay, you know, just go
major
easy on
things.
Ourselves. But they don't have to be major things. It can be literally, like for me, most days, like the winner is that I managed to get out of the house before 4 p.m. Like that's like, you know, like sometimes I'm like standing in the shower. Some Saturdays I'm like standing in the shower at like 7:45 in the morning. And I'm like, I can't believe this. Can't believe I'm not hungover and dying in my bed.
Yeah.
You know, like being an adult is just, you know, quite amazing sometimes.
And that is an achievement. That's a huge... God, I can't imagine it. Saturday morning.
It's just an achievement that we're all alive and that we're here. Like, if you think about it, right? If you think about that your parents, that your biological parents chose that moment to get it on and have sex, unless you're one of you is an IVF baby, in which case I apologise. But do you know what I mean? Even then, like, that sperm hit that egg and that, you know, like, fuck me. Like,
it's just physics.
But it's mental. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were millions of sperm and there was a, you know, like,
yeah.
The fact that we're all alive in here is quite incredible in itself. So yeah. just that's a win.
I always think that with the Goldilocks thing about the planet, like, if the planet was 1 degree either way, that would be it. We would all be lizards.
Yeah, and it's also like when I have to believe in something power greater than myself, like, it's not hard. Like, you just have to watch an episode of Blue Planet. It's insane, you know? Like, then when people go, because you need to believe in something bigger than yourself, and then people get all fussy, they're like, I don't believe in God, or did it? I'm like, honestly, just like, watch Blue Planet.
Yeah.
You know, because the fact that we are all exactly, that we live and we breathe and that there is life on this planet at all and that the trees are there for a reason, and if I lie there and look at the stars, I'm like, this shit blows my mind.
Yeah.
I have that with the stars too. Yeah. Like, if I stare at them for too long, I go somewhere completely different.
Yeah, and like, you know, the moon and tides and, you know, all of that stuff, it's like, it's bonkers.
It's all bonkers. I'm still amazed by periods. They still blow my mind.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wish they'd stop blowing my mind. Frankly. But then I'd be like, oh, I'm going through menopause. I hate myself. You know, like, it's never, you can never.
Never. Bryony, what an absolute joy. I feel like we could sit here for the rest of today.
I know, but I've got to go
to
therapy.
I know, you've got plans. Yeah.
Yes. Don't want to interfere with any further.
Let's not make you late. Let's not do that.
I have to go to my psychotherapy or it all goes wrong.
Thank you so much for coming on Wobble.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me wobble.
I mean, there is so much there. We say this all the time on Wobble. Go back, listen again, take notes. That's probably the third or fourth time that I have heard that episode. And every single time there's been something brand new that I've learned or taken away from it or that's spoken to me in that moment.
For me, it was how Bryony very openly said about what makes her wobble is taking on too much and trying to live the perfect life. I mean, I totally identified with that. And I think it's something for me to really think about, and which is an amazing thing, an accolade. She's provoked thought processes in me about how I'm living my own life. I loved her story about the mum at the school gate.
Yes.
Worrying what other mums thought. Yeah. And she was like, no one's even thinking that. Like, people are just trying to drop their kids off.
That's it. And I loved the conversation that we had about the inner critic. And I just wanted to say, if you're really interested in that, if you're listening and you're thinking, wow, this is really important to me, there is a terrific book. It's called Playing Big. It's by Tara Moore. I'm really sorry, Tara, if I've pronounced your name wrong. It's M-O-H-R. And it really gets to grips with what the inner critic is, how you can identify it, and what to do about it. So if that part really spoke to you, please, yeah, go and have a look for that book.
Also, please slide into our DMs and let us know what you loved about this interview, and go and slide into Bryony's DMs, because she is just like an incredible human being. And I, her view on her body, the fact that she ran the marathon in her underwear,
yeah,
I think the way that she is open about her vices and dealing with those vices and moving forward and addressing them is affirming, and I feel like I've learnt loads.
Yeah, absolutely. We love you for listening to Wobble. Thank you so much to Bryony for coming on, because it was an honour to have her. Please like, please subscribe, and we will see you soon for another guest on Wobble.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.